This is Perspectives, a weekly public affairs presentation by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 99.7 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. This morning, Gretchen Whitmer will be sworn in for a second term as Michigan's 49th governor. In a ceremony outside of the Capitol building in Lansing, Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, Secretary of State Benson, Attorney General Nessel, and others who were elected to statewide office on November 8th will also take their oaths of office during the ceremony. The new Michigan legislature, with Democratic control in both the House and Senate, will meet for the first time later this week. The new Senate Minority Leader is second-term Republican Eric Nesbitt of Lawton.
We might be at loggerheads ideologically with what direction the state needs to go in and how it will be going. But, when we got this time of season, Eric, it's time to really put things in proper perspective, and Christmas does that.
Oh, yeah, blessed to have a wonderful family, that we're healthy, that we have a warm house to stay in, and think about those that are a little less fortunate too. And if you can do a donation to a food bank or a little volunteer service out in the community, that's absolutely helpful this time of year.
If you got a question for State Senator Eric Nesbitt of Lawton, he'll be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. This leads me, I want to stay on a train of thought that we just started here, and you brought it up about those a little bit less fortunate. We're seeing more and more stories coming up about municipalities, for the most part, trying to address homelessness, trying to address those that don't have a home right now or are sleeping in cars and stuff like that. Is that something that perhaps you might see the legislature take up after the first of the year, Eric?
So I think there's a few different issues. One is that I think long-term persistent homelessness, especially those that don't want help and outreach, I think there's a behavioral health, mental health issue that's there that definitely needs to be addressed and continues to be, I think be addressed. We tried to get a bill going earlier this year with State Representative Mary Whiteford and trying to work to get something further done to help integrate behavioral and mental and physical health. But then there's also, I think, the challenge with, I think, workforce housing or those that need accessibility to the basics housing and just can't afford it. And I think there's a challenge both at the local level with what zoning and planning is allowed to allow for new buildings. I think there's a workforce development issue where we don't necessarily have the workers to put up all the housing and housing stock in an affordable manner that's needed. There's the inflation issue where we have challenges with the high cost of putting dollars into and making it, housing quite a bit expensive. And then there's, I think, overall in terms of allowing for more housing to actually just be built. And we actually passed earlier this month a bipartisan package, worked with the Grand Rapids Chamber, worked with some other local home builders association, and trying to provide a little bit more a package of housing benefits. I know Roger Victory was one of the leads in this package, and maybe that's a question you might want to ask him a bit more specifically. But it helps allow for further investments and pushes further investments for more housing here in Michigan.
We'll touch upon the challenges that you and Republicans will have in the Senate after the first of the year. But I want to touch upon a couple of other loose ends, if you might want to say, of the just completed legislative session. Looking at Murs News, for the state Senate last year, lowest number of active session days since 1950. Only 62 days out of total 78 had the Senate had a quorum. You were there in the sense of what was the situation? I mean, just didn't meet or there wasn't anything that, how can you explain that?
We got the budget balanced on time and early, paid down long-term liability, put in another $4.5 billion into hard infrastructure that we passed in a bipartisan method. I don't think it's the amount of quantity of days. I think it's the quality of days that are there. And even if we're not there, likely in the district, talking to constituents, working with nonprofits, local business owners, or other folks. And so I think at the end of the day is judge what the, the quality of the work, not necessarily the quantity of the days, because there's going to be a lot of days. If you remember just 15 years ago, there was days when they kept the voting board open in the House for days on end for one vote, for one budget. And they couldn't close it because they couldn't get the votes to get it done. And so it's interesting that earlier this year, we actually passed a bipartisan budget. I think it was unanimous. The main budget component was unanimous that came out of the Senate. There was a few no votes in the House. And the same, I think there, it was a large bipartisan package on education. And so that's something where I think overall that, you know, accomplish the main part of the budget. And also when you have a governor that, you know, at times has been a real challenge to negotiate. And she's also vetoed, I think, the most bills the last 2 years that that we've seen in any, you know, governor term. And so something where it takes negotiation, it takes some work. And I think we got a lot of work done, but then there's some more work that we could have gotten done, but it was a challenge with the governor out on the election trail, and to be honest, a lot of members on the election trail.
Eric, first of the year, you will become the Senate Minority Leader, and we touched upon a little bit in our last conversation, but as we get closer to the start of a new legislative session, are you sort of, and I hate to use a cliche term, sort of lining up all the ducks in a row so that you can step into your new role in the first of the year, basically hit the ground running?
I mean, we're working together. I announced the policy committee a few weeks ago where we have seven members, mix of freshmen and second termers, working on a set of policy recommendations that Senate Republicans will be pushing for in the new term. Set up a campaign review committee, looking at what went right, what went wrong, and also working together with colleagues. I announced the leadership team. But we will be working to make Michigan a better place to raise a family, run a small business, and enjoy retirement years. And with the economy in a weak spot, Senate Republicans will fight for small businesses and to build a healthy economy across the board. Education, skilled trades, training, I think, are vital. So each person is empowered to find a successful career. And I think as we work together, there's ways to work together to modernize our roads, our infrastructure, our dams, our water systems, and access to broadband and natural gas and rural areas. And those will continue to be our priorities as we go into the new year.
Because it is now a situation where Republicans are in the minority instead of the majority, the gavel is passed to the other side of the political aisle. Is it more of a case of being the loyal opposition, or can there be some common ground between the Republicans and now the majority Democrats in the Senate?
Well, as you look at it, that there are opportunities to come together and work together on whether it's balancing budgets, paying down debt, investing in our schools, investing in infrastructure. Senate Republicans, we're going to continue to fight for plans that we were elected on in order to improve our economy, help family budgets, and create more opportunity for every single person to have a better future. The election was close. The nation's divided. I think Michigan's fairly divided. I'm saying the election was close for both the House and Senate. And I don't think that even last week, Governor Whitmer says that with the legislature majorities being so thin, one seat in the House, one seat in the Senate, that they can't lose any members if they're going to pass any partisan left-wing bills, that she doesn't view that as a mandate. And so my hope is that there are nonpartisan areas that we can find agreement on, as we have in the past. For example, the incoming Senate Majority Leader Brinks and I have worked on education issues and statewide and local infrastructure improvement issues. And I look forward to continuing that partnership. However, if tax hikes, new crushing regulations on businesses, or more government debt are proposed, then we will fight against those policies because they will take Michigan backwards and take us back in a wrong direction, not forwards. But if there's ways to grow the economy, improve education, make our infrastructure, roads and bridges in better shape, we'll stand ready to work on those issues.
Is it the economy, or is it roads, or is it quality of life or education? If you had to pick one particular topic, Eric, that maybe needs to be addressed first, needs to be, you know, top of the list of any priority list, as, you know, beginning of a new year is always sort of entities sort of do this. What would be, in your mind, the thing that Michigan needs to tackle right off the bat?
Cost of living. I think Dana Nessel, the Attorney General, along with Governor Whitmer, and I think the Democrats in the House and Senate need to call on each other to say, stop the war on American energy, stop the war on trying to close down Line 5, stop trying to increase the cost of living, you know, whether it's through new regulations or whether it's, you know, through higher taxes. And so I do think that there's an opportunity for us, if they're serious about providing more money in the pockets of seniors, that I think there's a real opportunity to provide a senior tax exemption so that, you know, that all seniors see tax relief, that all working families receive tax relief. And I think that would be something that we could come together on. However, if the Democrats and Governor Whitmer only want to do public pensions, or only those special people with pensions, and only those that don't earn enough income to pay taxes, that I don't think there'll be a landing spot. However, if there's broad-based good tax relief that helps our seniors out and helps working families out, I think there'd be a great opportunity, along with cutting any war that they have on energy, oil and natural gas. We're getting into the winter months. People are going to be paying exorbitant amounts, I think, for natural gas, for propane. I just paid my propane bill last week. I know what families are going to be looking at as they enter these winter months. And I think that the first thing is to drop is the cost of living, which includes dropping and ending the war on American-produced energy, along with providing tax relief for seniors and working families here in the state of Michigan.
The words of second-term Republican State Senator Eric Nesbitt, who will be the Senate Minority Leader in the next session of the legislature. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 99.7 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for listening, and join us again next week at this time for more Perspectives.